Good morning. This morning I'll be talking about phosphorus fertilizer effect on yield and tillering of four cultivars of hard red spring wheat in Minnesota and North Dakota. Now, let me provide some background. In 2014, 15, and 16, we conducted a study on spring wheat response to nitrogen and sulfur. And when we conducted that study, there were three sites in Minnesota and two sites in North Dakota. Now, of the five sites that we did the sulfur by nitrogen study, for three of those sites, we did not see yield response to nitrogen and sulfur. And I realized that phosphorus was not applied to three of those sites that we did not see response. Now, the phosphorus does not necessarily explain the lack of response, but it actually raised our curiosity, you know, that with phosphorus deficiency, possible phosphorus deficiency, we would see, we might see a really big impact on the ability of wheat to respond to either nitrogen or sulfur. So we discussed this with the Minnesota Wheat Commission, and they decided to provide us with some funding to do a sulfur by wheat phosphorus study. So our first objective was to verify if phosphorus affected tiller initiation and production, and if they differ between cultivars for high and low yielding and protein cultivars. Now, the second objective was to verify if wheat yields and grain quality response to phosphorus differed between these high yielding and high protein varieties. Now, the reason for choosing these cultivars, actually, I'll interchangeably use variety and cultivar, I know they don't mean the same thing. The cultivars that we chose were suggested because one of the cultivars really has high yielding ability. It has is very prolific in its tiller production, and the protein levels are usually relatively low compared to one of the four varieties. So as we'll see, in 2016 in Minnesota, that's in Thief River Falls, because looking back at what we did with the sulfur by nitrogen study, and we did not see a significant effect of nitrogen on yield when phosphorus was deficient or low, we decided to conduct a study where we had a split plot design with randomized complete block design, where sulfur was the main plot, and we had either a 0 or a 10-pound sulfur applied, and within each of these levels of sulfur, we applied phosphorus at 40 pounds rate or no phosphorus, and we randomized that with our cultivar treatments. So we had four different cultivars: Albany, Bowles, Linkred, and Prosper. Now, like I said, this is a very high yielding, this relatively very high yielding cultivar, relatively low protein, high tillering cultivar. Bowles, relatively very high protein, relatively lower yielding, and low tiller proliferation. Now, Linkred and Prosper are somewhere in between Albany and Bowles. Now, Prosper and Albany have high yielding, but Albany has very low protein relative to the three. So this trial, for this trial, we applied 150 pounds of nitrogen, flat rate. There we had about 87 pounds of nitrogen in the soil. And when we applied the treatment, now this was on a farmer's field. Now we had suggested to the farmer to do his split application of nitrogen. This is sandy loam soil. he had decided to apply all the nitrogen at once. So there was labor available, there was fertilizer available and everything. We decided that we would conduct this study, would replicate this study once, where we split applied our nitrogen. So we had one block where we applied all our nitrogen at once and just before planting, and another where we split applied our nitrogen, 90 pounds and 60 pounds. So we analyzed the data separately. In 2016, also in Carrington, North Dakota, we did the same study, but then we applied 24 pounds of phosphorus, not 40. And in all these treatments we had, we replicated them four times. We did that on a low phosphorus soil test field and one that had high phosphorus. 2017, we did this same study in Carrington. 17, we lost our trial in Minnesota because of herbicide drift. So because of low yields at one of our sites, yeah, in 2000, one of these two sites, because of drought, I did not present the yield results for 2016, but I would make reference to it with regards to tillering. So this was when we applied, this was in Minnesota, where we applied the mid-season split nitrogen. We had applied 90 pounds, we came in and applied 60. So this is bold, this is Albany. So what were our results? First, looking at the tiller production. Now T1 and T2 tillers, so that means them, they are mostly responsible for the yield of wheat. You know, any tiller that comes after that, T3, the yields actually, the impact on yield is relatively low. So at Thief River Falls, we saw that actually the T1 and T2 tillers, you know, we had less impact for Albany. Remember, this is a high tillering cultivar. While bowls, Linked, Prosper, we're seeing really the initiation of both the T1 and T2 tillers, much stronger for those two. And phosphorus actually improved, yes, phosphorus improved tiller initiation, T1 and T2. Then the total tillers produced, again, we see an improvement in the total tillers, T1, T2, and initiation of the third tiller produced. And we also see it's more important, was more important for bowls, Linked, and Prosper. So looking at the results, the yield results, when we applied 150 pounds nitrogen all at once, we didn't see any, we're interested in actually the interaction between phosphorus and cultivar and phosphorus and sulfur. Now, this is supposed to be sulfur, this is supposed to be phosphorus. So we did not see any significant interaction, but there was a significant response, yield response to phosphorus. Now cultivars were obviously different. So there was about a 9 bushel increase due to phosphorus application. Now when we applied all our 150 pounds in at planting. Now looking at the other block where we split applied our nitrogen. Yeah, we also saw a significant yield increase, but then the yields generally were much higher when we split applied our nitrogen. So we actually had about 9 bushels higher when we split applied our nitrogen on this block. Now they were adjacent, and we did this mainly because we wanted to do a demonstration plot to present to farmers. So we also did not see any significant interactions. Now looking at our percent yield gain, when we averaged everything across site, we saw there was a 9% yield increase when we applied phosphorus on average across cultivars. Now we had a 7.1, that was equivalent to a 7.1 bushel increase for Albany, 6.7, 7 and 6.5 bushels for Prosper. Now the amount of phosphorus removed, we saw much, we didn't see significant differences in the amount of phosphorus removed between for Albany or across all the cultivars actually. But then looking at it numerically, we wanted to have an understanding or see if maybe the yield, the phosphorus removed was similar across cultivars. And we saw there was more phosphorus removed in the grain for bolls than the rest of the cultivars, except with Prosper. So this is really important because when we look at the grain content, the grain concentration of phosphorus, and looking at how much, what the difference in yields were between Albany and bolls, we see that actually the grain concentration was really playing a really important part in how much was removed. So in Carrington, Carrington 2016, looking at the tiller initiation where phosphorus was high, for some reason we're seeing less tiller initiation when phosphorus was applied for Albany, Lincoln, and Prosper, but then there was an improvement in the number of tillers produced for bolls. So I'm not sure why that was. Where there was low phosphorus, we saw an improvement in tiller production across all cultivars. And also there was generally more improved tiller initiation for these other cultivars than Albany. Now we understand actually Albany has been explained that what really accounts from the high yields of Albany or the number of tillers it produces. So looking at the 2017 results where phosphorus was low at one of the sites, so there were three sites. Two where we had 8 ppm, or about 9 kilograms per hectare of nitrogen, phosphorus, I'm sorry. And then one that we had really high phosphorus, about 18 pounds. So at one of the three sites where we had 8 ppm, we saw significant improvement in yield. It's about 6 bushels. When we look at, in 2016, the results are not presented. The two sites that we did the study, where we had really low yields because of drought and we had some wheat problems, our maximum yield there was about 32 bushels. Now on dry land in North Dakota, our average yields are about 47 bushels. So with 32 bushels in yields, and we even went down to about 17 bushels. But what was interesting in 2016 was that when we applied phosphorus, we increased our yields by about 25%. That was really surprising. At least 25% when we applied phosphorus with the low yields. Those results I have available for anyone who may be interested in seeing them. So, 6 bushels. And last year also with the responsive, for the responsive side, we had an average about 5.6, 6 bushels increase. Across for the responsive site. Now, looking at where we had really high phosphorus, there was hardly any response to phosphorus. Now, I'm not talking about the protein because we know there's a negative relationship generally between negative correlation between yields and protein. So, we start explaining the increase in yield. Sometimes we'll see a decline in protein only because of the dilution factor. So the effect of phosphorus, no response or very weak response. Now looking at the percentage yield gain from 24 pounds of phosphorus in 2016, this is what we got. between 21% and 30%. I said our yields were really quite low in this field. And in the Olsen where we had, this is 24 pounds of phosphorus percent yield gain. And then when we had it in 2017, for the two responsive sites, we had 11, between 9% and 15% yield gain. So in summary, we actually saw that phosphorus enhanced tillering. Albany responded less from tiller initiation when phosphorus was applied. For on average, phosphorus increased yields by about 6 bushels. Soils that were low in phosphorus were more responsive to phosphorus. Generally, the performance of bulls tended to be more responsive to phosphorus than Albany, but we didn't see actually significant differences when we analyzed data, when we compared across cultivars. So with that, I'd like to take your questions. I'd like to thank the Minnesota Wheat Commission for funding the project for 1 year. Thank you.
We have time for one quick question, if anyone has one. All right, thank you.
Okay, thank you.